Hello and welcome to PDA, Neurodivergence, and the Perpetually Determined Advocate. I am your Perpetually Determined Advocate, Cassandra. This is a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to raising awareness and acceptance of PDA, or Pathological Demand Avoidance, which is a lesser-known part of the autism spectrum. My hope for this podcast is to provide a place of learning, community, and growth, as well as a platform for PDAers, professionals, parents, family members, and others to speak out on this condition, as well as providing resources for those who want to learn more about this and other forms of neurodivergence. If you or someone you know would like to come on and use this platform to tell their story, please contact me at perpetuallydeterminedadvocate@gmail.com. You can also find the podcast on social media. On Facebook, search PDA Neurodivergence and the Perpetually Determined Advocate. And on Instagram, it is Perpetually Determined Advocate without spaces. Now, let's launch into this episode's topic. I'm back after what seems like an interminably long time. I apologize for such a long hiatus. I never intended for this break to last quite as long as it did. However, life had different plans for me since October, and it has taken me a little while to get back to the point of recording episodes. But things have now since calmed down, and we should be back at it without any further interruptions. One of the things that I wanted to do on this first episode back is as to address a topic that I've gotten a lot of emails and messages about since I've been on break, and that's sort of access to resources, information, contact, places to look for, you know, more resources and information for those wanting to learn more about PDA, whether that's for, you know, parents trying to identify it in children or even PDA adults. I've gotten a variety of messages from people wanting to know, you know, where can I go to look for more information? Where can I go for support? And so I wanted to do in this first episode, create this list of information and different places that people can go to find that help, in whether that's just in learning more or in getting some sort of support from others, right? Because that's how you build community. Now, one of the things I noticed whenever I was trying to collect this is I checked the analytics for the podcast, and we are really growing this community. I never expected when I started this podcast with no advertising, no real audience. I just started this as a way to put information out there as the parent of a PDAer who was struggling. I thought surely, you know, maybe this will reach a few people and can kind of help. But this podcast is now being listened to in 68 countries. There are on Spotify alone nearly 400 followers of the podcast, and episodes have been played over 18,000 times. And that's more than I could have ever hoped for. And I thank you all so much for those who have stuck with me through this break. And for those of you who are new, welcome. Welcome to the community. And, you know, let's just keep doing what we're doing, right? We are accomplishing the goal of this podcast, which is to promote that awareness and that acceptance of various forms of neurodivergence. And, you know, specifically one of them being pathological demand avoidance, and pushing for it being added to the DSM, right? Making sure that we are getting those resources and getting those accommodations and the help that either the children or the adults need in order to, you know, navigate a world that is not built for them, right? The neurotypical world is not always kind or conducive to neurodivergent people. And by, you know, having more people calling attention to topics like this, we can really work toward making that difference. So what I wanted to start with today is, you know, of course, like there's the big three, you know, when it comes to looking for information on PDA, there are sort of the big three. It used to be the big two. Now we're up to three, though, which is exciting. You have the PDA North America website, PDA Society UK, and now there's also Pathological Demand Avoidance Australia and New Zealand, right? So you have, you know, sort of dotting across the globe. It's sort of an expansive thing. And these are the three I generally start with because they encompass larger areas and they generally have a list of resources, links to websites or carers, people, professionals, medical professionals who can provide, you know, who are trained in how to evaluate and diagnose PDA. And so these generally are places that are good starting points for those wanting to learn more about PDA, especially with the PDA Society UK website, which is just really expansive and kind of brings together resources for not just people within the UK, but internationally as well. So those are really always good places to start, depending on where you are. Obviously, if you're not in one of those areas, the links to providers may not be as helpful, but the links to the resources, the blogs, the articles, the websites, the informational booklets and things like that, those are valuable no matter where you're based. So those websites can really help to provide you with those starting points. And then, you know, kind of going from there, you can look to perhaps social media groups or things like that that can help to guide you towards perhaps professionals in whatever nation or region within those nations, right? With PDA North America, you have, of course, those lists of various different resources. There's also videos on, you know, helping to identify PDA, tips on learning for PDA children for those like me who are not only based in North America, but are also raising PDA children. This, as we all know, learning and education provides a litany of demands for these children. And so learning can be a real problem at times. And these videos kind of help to provide you with tips on that you can share with their teachers, assuming that they are willing to work with that, but just ways to help reduce those demands, ways to, you know, sort of workarounds and ways to help these kids to not be at such a disadvantage because they can't help what's happening, right? This is something that is in their brain wired to force them to demand, you know, avoid these demands and to turn from those. And it's not just being difficult. And that's so hard for so many people to understand. But, you know, finding ways and picking up on different tips and things that we can share with educators, with schools on how best to reach our children is invaluable as a resource. So that's something that you can find there. And I know I like the idea of these various different websites having not only readings but also videos because, you know, people learn in different ways. You know, some people need to see it. They need that visual in order to really sort of understand and conceptualize things. Me, I'm one that I have to read it. So that's, you know, my way of sort of learning and really sort of conceptualizing things. But that's, you know, having those different types of media, I think, is very important for these websites. Now, as far as getting first person accounts, because, you know, podcasts like this or other information coming from those sort of on the outside looking in are great, but having that first person account from people who are actually neurodivergent or PDAers themselves, I feel like is exceedingly important, because then you're getting that window, right? You're getting that input from what it's actually like to be a PDAer navigating this world. You know, what is happening? It's a different perspective that really helps to round out that understanding. And so there are a couple of blogs that kind of come up a lot whenever I was looking through at different websites. One of them is Rico's blog, which is the sort of personal story of Rico Ryuki, who is a PDAer, right? Rico has PDA and talks about the ways that PDA manifests in daily life, the effect that it has on those around Rico. There's also a Facebook page for the blog. It's called Rico's PDA page. There's a YouTube channel, which is Rico Ryuki. I will have all of the links for everything that I'm talking about in the episode description. So it's likely to be a very lengthy description this time, but I wanted, like I said, I wanted to provide a lot of these resources as much as I could sort of fit into this 30-minute episode. Another one of these blogs that comes up a lot is Sally Cat PDA. All right, Sally Cat. Also, if you remember back to the episode that I did on books, there was a book in there by Sally Cat as well. Sally Cat is an adult PDAer, and this is an adult PDA blog. There is a large amount of peer research that has been done by Sally Cat, a lot of quantitative data that can be really useful for those seeking their, you know, their answer, their diagnosis, that torch in the darkness, right? Because a diagnosis doesn't change anything, but it does tell you what you're up against. It is that torch in the darkness. It shines the light and says, okay, this is what I'm up against. Now I can best choose the tools to combat what is going on, right? To help this person that I love, or to help myself if it is you that is looking for that that understanding and that diagnosis. So this one, like I said, is listed on a lot of the major medical PDA sites as a blog of substance. This is one where there was a high amount of, you know, research done amongst other adult PDAers. So for those looking for the more adult angle, this one is really, really helpful. You're gonna find a lot of data on there and a lot of information that can maybe help to steer you where you're going, but it's also a very expansive blog, so you're going to have experiences on there as well. It's just something that was really comprehensive and helpful. So you also have a few different websites you can go to in order to find maybe sort of resources and training programs. That sounds kind of odd, I guess. It's programs for helping, some of them helping parents to learn new ways of parenting that apply specifically to PDA. There are also websites out there that can help with educators and approaches to, you know, helping learners who have PDA. One of them is called, it's the Christy Forbes website. And what hers is something called Intune Pathways. And this is, you know, there are programs on there. There are short videos. There are longer programs that deal with these various different things. Christy is herself a parent to neurodivergent children, and that's kind of what got her into this. She has a background in special education, but then, you know, with raising neurodivergent children, she needed to find new ways to sort of adapt parenting, right? Because you can't just, parenting isn't a one size fits all. You really have to and this is whether you have a neurodivergent child or a neurotypical child, you kind of have to tailor it to meet your child where they are. And Christy's website has a lot of these. There's also a podcast for InTune Pathways. It's called the InTune Pathways Podcast, which you can also look up if you're looking for information on that. Of course, you know, I would be remiss if I did not mention PDA Society UK's website, which is, I mean, it's a plethora of information. Even if you're not based in the UK, that is the first website that I was really able to find once I heard about PDA. And there are a variety of things. There are events, there are training sessions, much like what Christy provides. You know, there's training for carers, there's training for, you know, education for professionals. It runs the gamut for just the resources they provide to people, whether you are yourself a PDAer, whether you are someone who is raising a PDAer, or if you are a friend, family member, sibling of someone with PDA, right? There are just more resources than I could ever in one episode detail. So when it comes to this one, I will give you sort of the quick one. The quick overview for what they offer, because this is an excellent place to start if you're looking to get more information about PDA or provide information. They have so many printable resources, you know, just the booklets that give an introduction to PDA, various different things that you can provide to educators that give just like tips and overview, a quick list of things that work well with PDAers. But there are also ways to, you know, as far within their resource section, they have a huge list of support groups that are on Facebook, right? There are a lot of those that you will find present there. I have to give a quick overview because of the fact that it's so expansive. You have groups for the UK, but also international groups. You have things like the Autism and PDA Group, PDA Inclusive Universal, PDA UK, PDA Global, and just, I mean, a large list of other groups within the UK and also outside of the UK. There are groups geared specifically for PDA adults or teens, right? To be amongst peers who also have, you know, the same diagnosis, that are dealing with some of the same troubles, ways that they are, you know, sort of navigating in a world not built for them, right? Community, again, providing that help, that place to turn to. You also have, there's a sibling support group on there, which is geared toward teenage siblings of PDAers, because, you know, the sibling dynamic can be problematic. I can speak firsthand to that one. You know, my youngest is the one that has PDA, and my older two do not. My 17-year-old has ADHD complex, and then my oldest is, you know, we believe neurotypical, though he's starting to look back in the information that I've learned and say, well, maybe not. But either way, you know, that dynamic is problematic because, again, the way that Declan, my youngest, behaves at times because of his PDA is something that they're looking at and saying, well, you know, I wasn't able to do that. And it's like, well, he's not in control of what he's doing. Also, you know, the various times whenever he will, you know, sort of do some things that the older ones may find annoying. Now, the oldest no longer, you know, he moved out. He's living on his own because he's nearly 22 years old. But, you know, my 17-year-old is still here. And, you know, there can be some pretty elevated, shall we say, feelings at times. And so having that sibling support group of other people going through it and having people to lean on can be important for siblings of PDAers. There are pages on there that are specific to parents of PDAers, but there are also pages for even more specifically PDA parents of PDA children, right? Because that's another one of those sort of more complex dynamics. There are educator pages for those of you like me who are always trying to get through to those who are teaching our children, you know, just sort of resources for educators wanting to learn more about, you know, PDA and the best ways to reach them, you know, the children with PDA. But then there are also outside, like I said, it's not just specific to the UK. They have a list of international pages, Australia and New Zealand, Ireland, USA and Canada, Denmark, Italy, Norway, Sweden, Holland and Belgium, United Arab Emirates, Poland, Finland, Hungary. All of these nations have support groups in the within Facebook where you can go and sort of get that information. Of course, there's also PDA USA for those within the United States, which is one of the ones listed in USA and Canada. Now, for those who want to maybe find some other podcasts, right? We do have other podcasts available that deal with the subject of PDA. One of the ones that comes up a lot is PDA Parents, right? Which is the sort of a list of two different parents of PDAers who share their experiences and insights on, you know, what has happened with them, what has and hasn't worked in the case of raising their PDA children, and, you know, sort of giving that opportunity to hear, again, sort of that community, right? Other people going through the same things. You also have one called Tilt Parenting, which isn't specifically geared for PDA or neurodivergence, but there have been quite a few episodes on there, on that podcast, that deal with, you know, devoting to neurodivergence and PDA. One of the more well-known people in the U.S. is Dr. Melissa Neff. She has been on that podcast as well. So those are some places that you can all go to get that information. And I know it's a lot. There will be an excessive amount of links in the episode description for this particular episode, but I wanted to provide what I could, because like I said, over the break, one of the most common questions I got, one of the most prevalent messages was, where can I find more information? Do you know someone that I can contact? I will say one thing that I did learn most recently was that the doctor that we took my son to for his diagnosis, which was Dr. Erica Crawford, no longer is practicing. She has since retired. So for those looking, trying to find her, perhaps if you are in Texas, that is probably not a resource for you, although there are some other practitioners that may be out of the state that you're in, but could potentially treat people in other states or see people in other states. So you have to be licensed for that sort of thing. So those are also possibilities. You can find most of the time, if you go to these larger websites, PDA North America, PDA Society UK, or PDA Australia and New Zealand, they generally have a list of providers. And I know sometimes your Facebook support groups will also have resources like that. I know the PDA USA group has a list of providers who are sort of PDA friendly, if you will. And so sometimes if you go to those support groups, you can find people more local to you who may be able to provide you with those resources. So I hope this has been helpful. I'm super happy to be back. I look forward to speaking to you a lot more frequently now, and I will talk to you all next time.
As always, you can email me with any questions, comments, constructive criticism, or concerns at perpetuallydeterminedadvocate@gmail.com. You can also find the podcast on social media. Just search PDA Neurodivergence and the Perpetually Determined Advocate on Facebook or Instagram. And until next time, remember, in a world where you can be anything, be kind.